I don't even know what else you want to talk about.
Yeah, there's nothing else to talk about. The world's over for Ohio State fans, and you're a Buckeyes fan, so what else is there to talk about?
I'm wearing blue now, just like you. I've given up.
Yeah,
I'm a Michigander again, Toledo. We've redrawn the lines.
Venting as a fan of college football just completely confounded what Ohio State did.
What did they do, Dave?
I don't know. Well, yeah, that's another Ryan Day is the players are walking off the field. He's like, what happened? It's like, yeah, I think we're all wondering that, Ryan.
Nobody got a Buckeye Leaf for that game. No Buckeye Leafs for
Caleb
that game.
Caleb Downs probably should have. And Jack Sawyer.
Jack Sawyer. That's fair. Jack Sawyer got the, yeah, okay.
But why did Jack Sawyer not return that for a touchdown? That's the only chance you're going to look at. I'm kidding.
I thought you were going to ask seriously. If he'd have caught it cleanly, he had to make a little move. He could have got further.
Yeah.
My dad and I were sort of early in the fourth, were both saying, like, I think our defense is going to have to score for us to win.
Yeah, which is just mind-boggling. Who took the loss harder, your dad or you?
Oh, my dad for sure.
What was his?
Because I've got that objective journalism muscle to flex, you know, and I can look at it also as a theatrical drama that it is.
Sure. It was
that doesn't ultimately affect my livelihood or outlook on life.
It doesn't affect his
or my
life.
Perception of either
livelihood.
School. No, it affects my dad's livelihood. Yeah, it does. It does.
Was he in a sour mood. Was he yelling?
He was yelling. He asked that I not refer to him as the old man. So I will tell you that my father, Dean, the one advantage that we had is because it was so cold.
Yeah.
People are in our row scurried up into the suites or whatever.
Right.
And so he had the whole row to pace back and forth the whole game and implore the team to please come on, please.
I think he just
couldn't believe it. I mean, nobody could believe they kept running that same crap. I mean, halfback dive. I mean, crap.
Yeah.
Mesh dive.
Should we even talk about this game out of respect?
He's Blade columnist Dave Briggs. I'm Street Gabber and producer Phil Kaplan. This is the Blade's Heart of the Rivalry show, in which we examine the rivalries of the University of Toledo, Bowling Green, and of course the game Michigan at Ohio State this past weekend.
Oh, okay.
UT.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. UT turns out they suck. BG turns out they suck. Ohio State turns out they suck. Turns out the best team
Michigan
was Michigan
sucks.
All along. Hail to Michigan. Toledo, as we've discussed, Toledo now belongs to Michigan for one calendar year.
It is true.
I don't want to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it. As you asked, I was in the stands. People were just befuddled in the stands, and a lot of people were calling the plays before they happened because the play was halfback dive. And you know when the moops up in the stands are calling it,
yeah,
that's not good. That means the other team also knows what you're doing. And then everybody saw the flag planting, pepper spraying fracas on the field. But in all my years of going down to Ohio Stadium, I have never seen such antagonism outside of the stadium, even between Buckeyes. Buckeye crime.
Oh, it was nobody had anything to say to Michigan. I mean, Michigan
had some stuff to say.
Michigan fans had all the right in the world to crow, and Buckeye fans, there's nothing you could say. And you're right. I don't think the flag planting is what got all the headlines, but that was the least of the interesting things I thought post-game. I mean, you mentioned it was befuddled during the game. It turned into just outright rage and anger in the stadium. I've been to a lot of sporting events, big NFL games, obviously big sporting event, big pro NFL, NHL, MLB, ton of college games with huge stakes, Ohio State, Michigan, of course. I've never seen anything close to just the boiling rage in the stadium as the game ended and afterward. And almost, I mean, Ryan Day is paid very handsomely, $10 million a year to do this. And a lot of the A lot of it's fair to question whether he's built for this, and a lot of this is his fault. I mean, one of the worst coaching jobs ever in that game. But I was just going to the end was just very ugly scene, and I don't blame anybody. I mean, this is an important part of people's life culturally, but the very end, the student section is chanting F Ryan Day. His teenage daughters are on the sideline just bawling their eyes out. As Ross Bjork, the Ohio State athletic director, was running or walking off the field, fans are screaming at him, "Fix this, Ross, fix this." Staffer's wife was going at it with one of the fans, and she was saying,
"You guys are
putting this negativity and pressure in your heads. This is on you too." And the guy was just like, basically, yeah, it was ugly. And just I've never heard of your own team be so viciously booed. You know, there are scattered boos throughout the game if you're coming off the field after a three and out or fans are frustrated. But this
heartfelt
was just
felt boos.
This was just vicious, straight, just as cutting of boos as you could ever imagine. I mean, Ohio State fans absolutely hated their team on Saturday.
What would be to love? It was a difficult watch. You say the excessive regalia and pageantry and competition of college football that you like is, say, Vanderbilt steals the goalposts and takes them to the river.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Families crying, getting into it with the wives of athletic officials. Ryan Day himself saying some people gargle razor blades or juggle chainsaws, was it? He compared to his job of wanting to coach against Michigan. I just think that that's too far.
Yeah.
Even if you're paid to do it, that's not how you should internalize it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just the unfortunate double-edged sword and the paradox of coaching big-time college football. The same reason he gets paid $10 million, the absolutely insane passion so many people have for college football. We love college football.
It's a lovable sport.
Nobody would get paid $10 million a year if we had any of this remotely in perspective. So the flip side of that.
That's probably true.
The flip side of that.
I will concede that as legitimate.
The flip side of
that. Outside of the bubble.
Yeah. And the flip side of that is everything that's great about coaching Ohio State completely flips when you have a dark hour in the sporting context. So
he looked after the game.
Catatonic.
Ding, ding, ding. That could be the only way to describe it. And that did make me sad for him, but also, what did you just put out there? Even if Chip Kelly is calling the plays, you're the head coach. You can see that going around. And let's say, okay, our quarterback is tough, and he might have had a more severe injury than the fans really know, and maybe he wasn't able to play his best game. Well, let's do something different. They still never really put the ball downfield to the best wide receiver room in the country with any consistency. And that's just perplexing.
Absolutely.
I am here now perplexed.
No, absolutely. And I think you have to start at least by acknowledging you have to give Michigan a ton of credit. I mean, obviously a very inspired performance. And again, Michigan fans deserve to squawk and
how about Mullings? What did you think about Mullings' effort?
That was
32 rush yards, just 3.5 a pop, but that critical, that third down run.
I know.
Oh, he looked dead to rights, as they say.
But yeah, with that being said, this is all about Ohio State. And normally after a game, I will write about the winning team.
Michigan does not feel that way.
I will write about the winning team. But this time, the narrative and the stories were all about Ohio State.
Does seem like a collapse.
Yeah, I guess depending on which side of the Toledo border you're on, it's either an immense, great upset for the ages or a complete meltdown. But yeah, this is about Ohio State. I mean, let's just be real here. I mean, you have the most expensive roster in college football. You have 3 years of pain built up that you're ready to cut loose on Michigan. You have just all these seniors who came back. And on top of that, you have the worst Michigan team in years. They had not won a road game all year. You're 21-point favorites. Michigan's doesn't have their best player on offense. They don't have their best player on defense. They don't have a quarterback who could throw the ball into the river
Nine of 16 with two interceptions.
It's almost the path to Michigan winning this game was narrower than this pen. I mean, it's just.
And they mountain goated it.
Somehow.
Like a Wolverine, right, they right. snaked it.
So, as much credit as you have to give Michigan, again, let's be real. This is completely a meltdown by Ohio State. And like you said, the offensive game plan was just completely inexplicable. The one area in the entire game where Michigan had an advantage was on the defensive line. They have three absolute studs led by Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, both first round defensive tackles in next year's NFL draft. And Ohio State has a patchwork offensive line. They've lost their two best players to it, to season-ending injuries. And yet, because Ryan Day, I feel like it just feels like, well, it's you know, the sky is gray and it's Michigan football and you're thinking back to Bo and Woody, you have to win it on the ground. And the statistics over the years do say you have to win it on the ground. I think every year since 1994, the team that has the most rushing yards wins the Ohio State-Michigan game. So it is a very physical line of scrimmage game. But at some point, you have to acknowledge that your team has unique strengths. You have the best collection of playmakers in the country. You don't have a great running game. You have two great running backs, but you don't aren't set
patchwork
up.
Offensive
you don't
line,
have it set up to go against Michigan's defensive line. And yet Ohio State, time and again, it's pretty much two runs and a pass and often three
oh
and out.
Oh, my God.
It's just – it was so absolutely – how do you not just exploit – your best in the country at the receiver against Michigan's overmatched secondary, missing the best cornerback in the country to injury, Will Johnson. And yet it just felt like they were just banging their head against the wall, trying to prove a point that they were the tougher team. It's like, are you trying to prove a point to Lou Holtz that you're tough, or are you trying to win?
I wish Lou Holtz was here right now, Dave.
It almost feels like, I mean, like Ryan Day is cosplaying like as the head coach of Ohio State, like what he thinks, like he's trying to be Woody. You win it with toughness, and you build it up into the
that's an
larger,
indictment, Dave. To say that he's an imposter in his own position is an indictment.
Well, he's from New Hampshire, and obviously you're gonna
back
hear
to
all
the
that.
Shire.
You're
back
gonna,
to the
you're
Shire.
Hear all
Ryan
that. Day? I don't. I mean, he certainly gets it, as we've talked about it. Maybe he gets it even too much. He builds this up into a larger than life battle, but it just seems like Michigan's able to marshal and their energy in a positive way, and Ohio State just completely collapses under the pressure. I don't know. It's just, it's not, it's their energy toward this game is not being funneled in a positive way.
That is accurate. That is accurate. Even without that energy, Ohio State, that game was there for until the last kick went through, the game was there for them to win.
Right.
At any point, they could have just done something, I think, slightly different. It looked to me that Michigan's DBs were smartly coached to interfere with receivers, especially on deeper passes.
Right.
Which I would have said that's a good game plan.
And that's where the NFL rules or the college rules hurt you, because in the NFL,
it's
you
only
get
15
the ball
yards
at the
in college.
1 yard line.
But if I'm in Ohio State and I see them doing that, great.
Right.
Keep doing it.
Right.
I mean, what
right.
would have, what, on the last,
keep throwing it.
On the very last drive, what would four jump balls to Jeremiah Smith in a row have accomplished that was worse than what we got?
Right. Absolutely. And by the end, I think they
for the listening audience, my shoulders are shrugged and my hands are akimbo, which means nobody knows.
Right. Shrug
it couldn't
emoji.
Have been that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So also,
total debacle.
It was a debacle.
Were you one of the fans throwing things on the field afterward?
They had this deal at Costco for AA batteries. I had 50 packs of AA batteries that I launched peppered just all over. No, I would never do anything like that.
They have video cameras, you know, Phil.
I know. That's why I would never. No, it's because I have real integrity. Cameras or not. No. I wanted to ask you if you had, and I know that as an Ohio State graduate, joy or fun may not necessarily be the words that you would go after, but also as a journalist, you had emotional contention to write about. Did you enjoy writing these columns? I mean, you had plenty of fodder.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it's interesting from that perspective. I mean, as is anything. I mean, it's interesting the last few years writing about Michigan taking the rivalry back from Ohio State, the cheating scandal, I mean, good or bad for either team. I mean, nobody talks about, I mean, nothing gets the needle moving in Northwest Ohio more than Ohio State, Michigan. And yeah, from that perspective, I don't think you could have had a more, I guess, apocalyptic, interesting, compelling narrative than Ohio State losing that game.
It's apocalyptic for sure.
It's certainly nothing, nothing anybody could have imagined. I'm sure Michigan in their, I mean, if you gave Sherrone Moore and the Team Truth Serum leading into the week, I can't imagine they truly believed they had.
I believe that they would believe that they had a chance. Yeah, I think when you're in the trenches with your guys, you do believe that. Irrational confidence is what produces incredible athletic performance.
That is true. But yeah, I mean, how do you have a more compelling narrative from a, obviously in a very negative way for Ohio State than Ryan Day? With everything that was on the line this season, again, the $20 million roster, everybody coming back, the 3 years of pain, the 3 years of losses built up, everybody came back expressly to beat Michigan and win a national title, but number one goal is to beat Michigan. And somehow, against a team he should have beaten by 3-4 touchdowns, that happens. Whiskey. And it all just steadily sizzled and boiled to that rage at the end. And it was wasn't uncomfortable being in the stadium or not.
It was not pleasant.
But it wasn't, I don't know. It was just
like you said,
a very ugly air afterward.
I had not seen anything like that in all my time in going to games at Ohio State. For Ryan Day that evening, you're finally back. Whiskey and country songs? Do you think you got to go there? With that? Just get in your old rocking chair and look out in the distance? Yeah,
I just listened to his signing day press conference. And as you can imagine, there are not many questions about signing day. It is interesting. What do you think about? I mean, half the questions were, why do you think you're still the right guy for this job? You know, all along those lines. What did you think about the vote of confidence from the athletic director? What's your take on just whether Ryan Day at 66-10 with the recruiting machine operating at absolute full blast with so many good things going for the program and yet. He himself says there are three goals each year to beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, win the national championship. If they don't win the national title this year, that's 0-12 the last 4 years. And I do think this year's game raises the question, has he just gotten so tight in this game? Has Michigan gotten so far in their head that he's just not, kind of like John Cooper, has he... What gives you confidence?
There's the first mention. How deep are we in the show that we finally mentioned John Cooper?
What gives you confidence? What gives you confidence after this year's game that he will ever be able to consistently have success against Michigan in the future? So I do think it's absolutely a fair debate. If they lose, say they're probably going to host Tennessee in the first round of the playoffs.
If this team loses
that game.
It's over.
Do you think Ryan Day should be back as head coach next year? I mean, it's. So many positives, but at the other end of the coin, I mean, what are we doing?
I would say the answer, honestly, objectively, rationally, soberly, is yes. Okay, so the other thing is, I believe this is a Woody Hayes quote about sending Michigan to the Rose Bowl with a bloody nose. Let Michigan send us to the national championship with a black eye or a bloody nose, however you want to say it. I mean, Ohio State still has championship caliber team that also...
I'm saying if you lose to Tennessee in the first round...
Wait, silver linings. They also get a bye week now.
Right.
They don't got to play the Big Ten championship
game. I don't disagree. Ohio State absolutely can win the national title.
But no matter what...
That's what makes this so fascinating.
Okay, so if they lose to Tennessee...
I'm saying if they lose to Tennessee, what do you do?
He may walk.
And I agree. I think the most likely situation logically is he'll be back next year. But
he's a good coach. He's a really good coach.
58% chance he's back. Of the 42% if they lose to Tennessee, I think 20% chance he's fired, 22% chance that he just decides. I mean, we just go back to the scene afterward. Ryan Day last week said these three losses to Michigan are the worst thing that's ever happened to his family. And other than his father dying, the worst thing that's happened to him. So that's puts the unhealthy fast fixation on this game into context. Nobody should be having those thoughts. So I don't know. It's
Ohio State is in and the I do ledger.
Think, and I do think firing is on the table because, look, I mean, these people who are paying tens of millions of dollars for this roster probably are not the kind of people who are understanding and patient.
Are you calling Ohio State supporters the mob?
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you're the kind of people funding a roster, spending tens of millions of dollars to fund a college
football
roster.
Are you saying you
roster,
know where a cigarette truck might be parked?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying these are probably not the kind of people who are just like, hey, you know what? Let's just give it a couple more tries and see if it works out. This is an all or nothing season
if you're not getting it done. When you talk about the coffers of Ohio State alumni and boosters, $37 million is what is still owed to Ryan Day. I would agree that it's surmountable, but I would not say that it's nothing.
It's a lot more than $37 million. $37 million, probably have $20 million owed to the various assistant coaches.
Well, so you're making my point. And I think he's still a strong coach
with an
outsized winning record.
Yeah,
not just
definitely.
A good winning
right,
record,
right.
a dramatic winning record.
But I've had some people ask me in the past.
Tennessee loss would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I've had some people ask me in the past couple days, like, why are you defending Toledo coach Jason Candle and not Ryan Day? And the reason is Jason Candle is doing things that previous Toledo coaches have not. He's won two MAC titles. He's had, well, just start there.
This is a down year. This is a bad year.
This is a transition year. Now, obviously, they have to be better next year. You don't want to settle into
a rut. But 7-5 is a down year.
Yeah, you don't want to settle into a rut of 7-5. And nobody at Toledo is happy with this year. It's disappointing.
Akron loss was hard.
A transition year. Absolutely. But there's this mythical standard of yore that Toledo fans kind of look just kind of
with Sean Tate and Chet the Jet.
Hold Jason Candle too. And I agree. I mean, some changes do need to be made, but Jason Candle's winning percentage is on par with all the great coaches in Toledo history. Matt Campbell's is a little higher, but he left after 4 years. Who knows what it would have been like if he had stayed for nine like Jason Candle, and Matt Campbell did not win a MAC title. So Jason Candle has elevated the program in certain tangible areas. Ryan Day, yeah, they're winning at a rate as much as ever, but he's not beating Michigan. He doesn't have a playoff win since 2020, and you can make the case that the program has gone down in the ways that most matter to Ohio State fans, and that begins with Michigan. So that is my answer why I would defend Jason Candle against the ridiculous cries of firing Candle versus why I think it's absolutely fair if Ohio State flames out in the playoffs to move on from Ryan Day.
When I said
as
to
crazy
you,
as that sounds,
when I said to you that this was as bad as any John Cooper's transgressions, you immediately replied that it was worse. And when you look at it, that he's at home as a three touchdown favorite, and to play so
bad,
poorly, yeah. To play yourself into a 3-point loss, kicker missing field goal. I mean, it just is one of the ugliest losses in terms of execution you could imagine.
And Cooper had devastating losses, 95, 96, obviously. But
and then he had some embarrassment against South Carolina.
Off the field, too. And even but 95, 96, those Michigan teams were more competent than this Michigan team.
Exactly.
And 98, losing to Michigan State, I mean, that's obviously as bleak of a moment. I mean, that was a team that could not even God himself could sink this ship. But and then Michigan State. But I recall, it was more just kind of shock and sadness more than just outright rage.
So the other thing that some people brought up to me is, well, you got to give Ryan Day another chance because look at how many chances Michigan gave Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Because he lost a few in a row before he got off the schneid.
And
as
you,
they
of
say.
Course, know the easy answer to that.
Well, Harbaugh was bringing a program up from nothing,
right.
Whereas Ryan Day seems to be taking it down from everything.
I assume you've
and
seen
the bag
that.
Was the bag was also that's what my family refers to as Jim Harbaugh's hair bag. So the bag was never a 3-touchdown favorite
right.
against any Ohio State team.
I do think it's certainly the most unusual. Ryan Day, I don't think it's a stretch to call him the most unusual case, the most unique case study in sports history. I don't think we've ever had a...
Wow, don't undersell it, Dave.
I don't think, have we ever had a coach who's has that? I believe, with the exception of Georgia, he has the highest winning percentage in his 6 years at Ohio State. 66-10. I mean, absolutely. If you're not caught up in this rivalry, you obviously think it's completely insane to be talking about
yes.
Ryan Day on the hot seat.
Yes.
But
$37 million is nothing. Yes.
Right. But when you do live, remember Ross Bjork was the AD at Texas A&M last year. They paid $76 million for Jimbo Fisher to go away. So so let's not I truly do believe the money is nothing.
That you and SMU feel the same way.
right. It's not my money, but you know the people who are paying it, and they don't cold when you're looking at it this way. But yeah, absolutely.
Guys in construction.
Right.
Did bring out the sports editor in me. I told you that if it were my page, I would have done a full 6-column above the pole, a fold picture of Ryan Day's rosy cheeks.
Yeah.
And I would have said, blue day.
Yeah.
Wolverines out bully Buckeyes to win fourth straight. I think that's a strong page. Strong page. He could have had plenty of photos of those rosy cheeks and him staring off in the distance after that game. That was weird. It was like some post-Vietnam stress disorder.
Well, he's getting a lot of...
He's got to take some Zen, man. He's got to go to a sauna. He's got to chill out. He can take it seriously.
Right.
It can be important to him, but he's got to get... He's got to get some Eastern philosophy.
He was getting a lot
He's
got
to bring it. He's got to focus that chi.
He was getting a lot of crap on people just kind of being like, how do you not have control of your body after the game? Because, I mean, I was standing next to him, taking video of him as they're coming off the field to sing Carmen, Ohio, the alma mater, as they do afterward. And he's just looks completely shell-shocked, again, catatonic. And then you hear the stadium just erupting in just the loudest boos you can
imagine. Gnarly.
And I'm thinking, oh, they're just booing the team during Carmen, Ohio, because that's how mad they are. But as it turned out, it was because Michigan was planting the flag at midfield, and Ohio State players are going over there to show the most fight they've shown all day. And but Ryan Day, I mean, he's just kind of, all the players are running over there, and he just kind of moves over gingerly, and he's just kind of looking around, and people are like, how do you not have control of your body? I mean, aren't you the guy in charge? But he probably should have, but he was just, as he said again today, look, I was completely shocked. There was no way.
Oh, he acknowledged it.
He didn't. He wasn't talking about that specific moment, but he was saying, "Look, I was completely shocked. It's not something I ever dreamed could have happened. We were very confident. We were loose as ever coming into that game, and it's just not something I could have fathomed. And I don't think anybody around that program thought there was a chance they were losing that game.
First drive looked gangbusters.
Yeah,
looked well oiled.
And it just again, it's it was. I would a penny for Ryan Day's thoughts after that game. I mean, I don't know what was going through his head. I can't imagine.
You could read him on his sleeve if we're going to out idiom each other.
Yeah.
Is that our first segment?
Yeah.
Should we take a deep breath and come back? This is the heart of the rivalry. We will be back, I think, with some, let's look forward to what's going on with our MAC teams in the bowl games.
Great.
And we'll talk about what is scary about Tennessee.